Beautiful, beautiful singing. Love that wonderful old hymn. We continue in the fourth chapter of Revelation. Revelation chapter 4. We're going to begin reading with the first verse and read down through verse 8 as we continue to enjoy the study and the precious words that we have here in this text, God's precious holy word. Revelation chapter 4, beginning to read with verse 1. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look like unto like a jasper and a sardis stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. And around and round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceedeth lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. In the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, the second beast like a calf, the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts, which of them, each of them, 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Let's stop with the reading there and begin with prayer. Father, thank you for this wonderful time together that we have as a family. We can come and open up your precious word and study it and read it and just let it touch our hearts, realizing that it is your precious holy word. And I ask, Father, that you would just guide and lead us through these verses today. Show us, apply it to our hearts, take it to heart. As we have read 7 times, he that hath an ear, let him hear. We need to be a good listener, and we need to respond to your precious word. Please, dear Father, just guide and lead us now through this wonderful study. Help us in some small way to be able to explain how glorious and wonderful heaven's going to be. Being in your presence, how wonderful that will be. And so please just guide and lead us now through this precious word. Touch every single heart. If there are folks here that have not come by faith to you, they do not know you as their Lord and Savior, that today they would be born again. They would come to know you, trust in that precious cross and the blood that was shed upon that cross. And Father, you sent your Son, your perfect Son, to come down and to save us. And he did. And he rose again 3 days later. We not only have victory over sin, but we also have life. And so please guide and lead us now, dear Father. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We enjoyed the study last week there, kind of concentrated really up on the second and the third verse. And we're going to just take a couple of minutes to kind of review through that, because it is a very important text, and it's important for us to not just take a quick look at at some words and then move right on through them. Brad taught us very well this morning that one word in the Scripture takes about 45 minutes to explain. And so it just right on schedule. And so it's that's very important for us to understand that we need to take time to look. Now, how often when you have read through the book of Revelation, have you taken these verses and read through verse 2 and 3 and said, "And immediately I saw, I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne, and he sat was like to look upon like a jasper and a sardis stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald." And that was the size of it. You didn't give it any more thought than that. You thought of the jasper and the sardis stone and the colors that they were. And then this rainbow was kind of different, because normally a rainbow has multiple colors, but this just had one color, and it was emerald. But did you stop and give any thought to what that verse of Scripture was saying to us? It was trying to give us a picture of our Lord and Savior, King of Kings, upon his throne. And it started with jasper, and it went to sardis. And then surrounding that was the emerald. Well, if you really want to look to the Word of God and study the Word of God, you realize that the two stones, all three stones actually, are stones that are in the breastplate of the high priest. The sardis is first and the jasper is last. The sardis is number one and the jasper is number 12. The sardis was Reuben and the jasper is Benjamin, because each stone was one of the tribes. And so we have the tribe of Reuben is the sardis stone, and we have the tribe of Benjamin is the jasper stone. Now we have one more stone that was thrown in here, and that was emerald. Well, surely that would have gotten your curiosity up when you found out that those two stones were more than just a color that you would think about. And so what would the emerald possibly be? Well, the emerald is Judah. That is the line that Jesus came through. So when you look at the Bible and you study this precious word, understand that there is not a word in here that doesn't have a meaning to it. And so as we're looking at these now, why, then we can see, so what would be the purpose of having jasper first when it's the 12th and having sardis last when it was the first? Well, it's because John's location. It's where John is standing now. John is in the presence of the Lord Jesus in heaven. He's been raptured. These first verses of chapter 4 explain the rapture of the church. Every born-again believer has been lifted up and taken, whether you were alive or you had died. If you had died, the grave has been opened up and you've received a glorified body. And if we were here upon earth, we received our glorified bodies and we followed them home. That's the picture that we have here in chapter 4 in the first three verses, is the rapture of the church. So now think about where John is located. John isn't down here looking up. John's up there looking down. And so his first sight of the Lord Jesus is the glorified, perfect Son of God, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He sees this crystal clear, this beautiful sight of complete, full righteousness that he had never witnessed before. He had never seen this before in its full glory. Oh, he walked with the Lord Jesus on earth. And so he had walked side by side with a perfect man, but not the glorified Lord. Now he's seeing the glorified Lord. The last thing John saw was his Savior being crucified. Well, jasper is this crystal clear righteousness, perfection. That's what John is seeing. But we can never leave out the Savior as He died on the cross and shed His blood. Sardis is blood red. So you have the righteousness and you have the salvation by sacrifice as He shed His blood. So, of course, jasper has to be first because of where John is viewing from now. He is seeing Jesus in His holiness, in His perfection. And now he looks back, but he never forgets the cross. So jasper, then sardis. Now let's get on to emerald, which is, again, Judah. Emerald is green. And the Lord has chosen, and we just made a remark yesterday, look how it is almost November. And look how green the grass still. It's just green. It's still growing. I declared we're not going to mow my yard again, but if I don't, I'm going to have to get some goats because it just keeps growing. But green is God's choice in His creation. It is a color that is soothing. It's a color that is of peace and quiet and tranquility. And that is that green color. And what happens when we're just starting to die now? Everything is starting to die. Well, what happens first thing in the spring? Grass starts to green up a little bit. And the leaves come up on the trees. And they're not this golden color that we have now. They're beautiful and green in color. And God's whole creation comes alive. And that's what that green stands for, is literally life. And so that's what we have in that single verse of verse 3. When you look at the jasper and you look at the sardis and you look at the rainbow that's around with the emerald, now we have the glory of God. We have the wonderful salvation that comes through the shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we also have the life that comes. And so now that's what we had last week. And so I thought it was worth going through one more time so that you really kind of get an understanding. So next time you read that, it's kind of like the same reason that when I do a funeral service, I do a funeral service and I take a hymn. I take one of the old hymns, Victory in Jesus or Amazing Grace, or maybe the family maybe has a choice that they would like to use. And so we come in and I use that. And my full purpose of that is that the Lord can take that hymn, and the next time that person or that family hears that hymn, they think about the words of salvation that Jesus died on the cross for them will come back to them. And I want that hymn to be used. And I want it the same thing here. I want you now to open this Word of God the next time you read that or you're someplace else. Somebody says, oh, because the most misunderstood and the most common taught book and the one that people love to come to hear is the book of Revelation. You say to somebody, you're studying Revelation, here, oh, I'll come and study. Oh, we're going to study the Gospel of John. Boy, I wish I wasn't so busy. But if you're going to do Revelation, because they love all the mystery and all the things that you can kind of think on to what's there. Well, the next time that you open it up, I want you to come down through these few verses here and very quickly come on to that verse 3 and read that jasper. It says, jasper, oh, that means righteousness. Sardis, that means the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Emerald, oh, that's of the family of Judah. That's that green color, that peace and the offering that Jesus gives us through life, through His shed and precious blood. So I want you to understand that. It is wonderful to study the Word of God and see that there's much more there than just a few words that God scattered into His book. And that's the reason that we need to study it and look to it. And let's get on to verse 4 now, because there is someone that's witnessing this beyond John. Because John now all of a sudden has been brought up into a place, and he represents the church. So if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've been born again, you are among these folks that we're going to talk about here in this fourth verse. So you're one of them. So just think about that. You're present here with John. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their head crowns of gold. Now, I want you to think about this just a little bit, and it is believed, there are some that believe that this is the 12 tribes and the 12 apostles. They believe that that's where the 24 comes from. Excuse me. I don't believe that at all. This number 24 here, I believe, is the church. And most scholars of God's precious word agree that this is the church. This is speaking of the church. This is the elders that John is seeing here. He is seeing the church present with him. This number 24 occurs six times pertaining to these elders. You'll find the elders not only have the white raiment, which stands for the righteousness, but also they have crowns of gold. And those crowns of gold brings us not only righteousness, but royalty. You see, we are the royal priesthood. And so when you look at the words of that are present here, we find that it is speaking none other than those that have come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. They have called upon him as their Savior, and the Lord has called them home, has called them home. And so we not only have the royalty, but we have the righteousness and the holiness that is present there. These elders, it has seats here, and actually those seats are thrones. That's the position that we have. We will be seated upon a throne in the presence surrounding the throne of God. And when we are there as John is there, again, put yourself there if you know the Lord Jesus, and imagine as you're looking at the glorified Lord, at something that cannot be explained in any kind of words or language, at its might and its power and its glory. We can't understand it. So he chose to use Sardis and the jasper in his explanation to who he was seeing. The church is caught up. The church has been raptured. We are in his presence. A Jew would understand if you would say that we have experienced the Feast of Trumpets. The Feast of Trumpets. You see, each time that we look to the Word of God, we're in the book of Revelation, then what am I doing back in Exodus and Leviticus? Because we need to tie this book together. I don't want you to ever think that the Old Testament isn't of great value for us to look at and to study. Say, well, we're not Jews. That was given to the Jews. Well, that's true. That was given to the Jews. But it also is for us to see and for us to understand. And also, we needed to see how bad the Jews, how much they had failed in the ministry that God had given them, and that was to take the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection out to the world. That was the purpose of the Jews. God still believes they're his chosen people. He loves the Jews. He has a love for them that is beyond any. And yet he had to set the Jews aside, and he gave birth to the church. Now let's look at these feasts just very quickly, because some of them are very familiar to you. When we celebrate Easter, Resurrection Sunday, we celebrate the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus. That would be the Passover. That would be the Passover. This is a Jewish celebration that they have, the Passover. You've all heard of the Passover. The slaying of the lamb, the offering of the sacrifice. We can even bring it right into the tabernacle, because that would be the brazen altar. Now, the second one is the unleavened bread. Now, the believers, once you've come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, then we become and we have this new life. The washing by the word. So now we could take that to the brazen laver. This is the believer's new life, the unleavened bread. The third of these celebrations and feasts that we have is the Feast of the First Fruits. Now, what could that be? We have the crucifixion. We have the new life that comes, but it doesn't come without the resurrection. And so the Feast of First Fruits is the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now next is one, the two you have heard of many times because of the study that we have, and that's Pentecost. Now Pentecost is the birth of the church. God has set aside Israel, and the church has been born. Well, the birth of the church, what event could come next? There's only one event that can come after the birth of the church, and that's the rapture of the church. And that would be the Feast of the Trumpets. And that's where we're at, right here in the book of Revelation. We have come to the Jewish Feast of Trumpets. Because not only did that have much events taking place as they're gathering things together, but also it was a calendar for us. So you see, it's not just for the Jews. Because of that calendar, we can see the crucifixion, the new birth, the resurrection, the Pentecost, the birth of the church. Then we have the Feast of Trumpets, which is the rapture. Now, what comes after the rapture? The seven-year tribulation. That's the Day of Atonement. Now, we talk a lot about the Day of Atonement because that's the only time that the high priest could go into the Holy of Holies with his own blood once, and then he would return with the blood of the goat to bring and sprinkle it seven times onto the mercy seat in the Holy of Holies. Then he would come back out and he would confess the sin of the nation of Israel, laying his hands upon the live goat, and then the live goat was led up into the wilderness, never to return. You see, that's what happens the day you trust in Jesus. That's what's going to happen the day that the nation of Israel is called out again, and that will be the tribulation. The nation of Israel is going to have one more chance to repent. One more chance to turn. There's going to be 144,000 preachers out there preaching the truth. To find 144,000 preachers that stand upon the Word of God today would be a difficult challenge. But God's going to send the message out in these 144,000, 12 from each tribe, to call the nation Israel to a point of repentance, to come back again. That is the Day of Atonement. That's the tribulation. And we only have one more left. The Feast of the Tabernacles. That will be the millennial reign for 1,000 years with Christ here upon earth. So we have the full picture. The Passover, the unleavened bread, the Feast of First Fruits, Pentecost, Feast of Trumpets, Feast of Atonement, the Day of Atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacles. And that is our whole life as a church. From the crucifixion to the millennial reign of Christ. God had that planned out all the way back when we studied Exodus and Leviticus. He knew the plan that was come. He had his calendar already set. And that's where we find ourselves today at the Feast of Trumpets. That's the location. So we need to tie in the Old Testament with the New Testament. Now, these 24 elders do represent the royal priesthood, the true church. That's who this represents. And then we also have down here, as we look at the 24 elders, we have the 24 thrones. We have them clothed in white raiment. We have crowns of gold upon them. So we have the righteousness, and we have to be royal and of power and strength. And then we come out of the throne, precedes lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Now, we've had that once before. And if you'll remember in that study, we went back to Isaiah chapter 11, the first five verses of Isaiah chapter 11. And you're going to find the full character, the full makeup of God through the listing of these seven spirits. And so again, we went back there a few weeks ago, and when we look at the seven lamps of fire burning, we find the spiritual perfection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we see him here. Now, John saw one standing in the midst of the golden candlesticks. We found that at the chapter 2, the beginning of chapter 2. And so now we have these seven golden candlesticks. We have all born-again believers in this group, in this assembly, represented by these candlesticks. We have them all present, caught up in the air with the Lord. And we find the Lord Jesus in the midst of us. And realizing that when you're come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, when you're born again, the Holy Spirit comes to live within you. And we know that we have the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And yes, there are three separate persons, but they're also one. Now, only when we get in his presence will we have a full understanding of that. But we know by faith that it's right and it's true. And so we have the Holy Spirit living within our hearts. If you trusted in Jesus, he came to live within your heart. So you possess not only the Holy Spirit, but you have the Son of God, because they are one. And what a joy for us to walk with the Lord Jesus, knowing he never leaves us. Even when we leave this earth, our soul will immediately go into the presence of the Lord. Our body goes into the grave, but don't worry about it, because the Word of God, God softens it so much that he calls it sleep to a believer. Because there's just going to be a short period of time before we will meet our Lord Jesus in the air, and our body will be reunited with our soul, with our heart, and forever be with the Lord. Now, we talk about that side of it, but we need to talk about, because we're going to get into some things of that here in the near future, and that is the other side. The side that you reject the Lord Jesus. Tonight we're in the book of Jude, and it's the apostate church. The apostate church. And as I continue to study in preparing for the lesson tonight and have been, I found a definition of the apostate, who those members that are of the apostate church. It is one that has heard the Word of God, that has looked to the Word of God, that's experienced the Word of God, and then rejected the Word of God. But they stayed religious. They stayed religious. So they go to church and they work and they serve and they do all those things, but they have stopped short of coming by faith to Jesus. See that you don't fall into that category that you have rejected the Holy Spirit. Can you look to a time? Can you look to a day that you said, "Yes, Jesus, I want you to come into my heart and save me"? Don't trust in some church service that you attended. Don't trust some confirmation that you had, some baptism that you had. Don't trust in any of that. Trust solely in that time that you can recall, because the day you meet Jesus is a day that you will never forget. Now, I'm not saying that you can say it was the 28th of October in 1975. I remember that day. I can take you right to the place where I met Jesus. But I can't tell you the exact physical day on a certain month, a certain day. I can't tell you that. But I know where and when I met Jesus. Do you know the same? Do you know the same? Because if you don't, you have slipped right into the apostate church and you didn't even know it. And I don't want that to happen. You need to trust in Jesus, call upon the Lord Jesus, and He will confirm it in your heart, and He will keep you and seal you. It's so important that you be a part of this, because the other side is you die, you go to the pits of hell or the place of torment. You will remain there. Cain, go back 6,000 years. When Cain died, Cain went into the place of torment, and he is still there. And when the rich man died, he called and he says, "Abraham, would you please send Lazarus and just dip his finger and to touch my tongue? It is so hot. Just give me that." He didn't ask for a drink of water. He asked for just a drop, just a single drop of water upon his tongue. The torment was so great. Well, you see, that's not their eternal home. Because as we went down through here and we came through the Feast of Trumpets and then the Day of Atonement, and then we came to the Tabernacle, the Feast of Tabernacles, which is a 1,000-year reign. Right after that, Cain and all those that followed him, all those that chose not to trust in Jesus, will be brought out of that pit bodily. How many folks you know have died a horrible death? They died a death of severe, severe pain. They're still in that pain. Only a redeemed person, one that's come by faith of Jesus, comes out of that pain. They will be brought out bodily. Their spirit's been down there all the time. Their body's just been in the grave. They'll be given that same old rotten body. And for eternity, they will live in that body forever and ever. But they'll be cast into what they call the lake of fire. Total darkness. Well, I'm going to have a lot of buddies of mine's going to be there. There may be a lot of buddies you'll have there, but you're not going to know it. Because there's only one thing, and that is the torment of your mind knowing you didn't trust in Jesus. The aches and the hurt of your body is number two. Total darkness. You will hear the screams of others, but you will not be able to see them. That much we know. Who is it that you know want to spend eternity there? Or better yet, how about you? Is that where you want to go? Because that's the choices. to enjoy what John is seeing in the rapture of the church. And that will be 1,007 years before they come out of the place of torment. We find that the believer will always have the presence of his Lord and Savior. Always. Now, we're not going to get into the sea of glass like crystal. We're not going to get into the beast here that has full of eyes front and behind. We're not going to get into the faces of a lion and of a calf and of a man and of a flying eagle. We'll start there next week. So please don't miss. But more than not missing this, none of us are going to know whether we're going to be here next week. We don't know. We may die between now and next week. Or the Lord may take us all as believers. See that you're part of that party to go. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you today that we can come into your presence and understand that there's going to be a day that we're going to fully be in your presence. We're going to come and be surrounding your throne. And when these what they call beasts here, you think of that being something evil. It's something that's good because they cry out, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." And when they do, we're going to fall on our faces, lay our crowns at your feet, dear Lord. But please, just prepare our hearts. Help us to grow, Father, please. Speak to all that's here. We've got both sides. We've got heaven, we've got hell. We've got being in your presence or being totally alienated from your presence. What's it going to be? Speak to hearts now. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.